At the beginning. Everyone likes to begin at the beginning because then they know they're going toward the end. But if you begin at the end, you don't know what the beginning was, and you don't know what the end is, and so you're sort of in a quandary. But at the beginning, everything starts. At the beginning, everything takes a new look at life in a new direction. I was recording on the encoding system today, and I had help from Sylvia, as she would go into my secret encoding system and use my internet and cut me off. And so I had to start over. Three times I had to start over on encoding this one article. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just read that the article was already done and the audio was already done. All I had to do was move it up into the next section. Well, every time I tried to move it up the next section, it says, you've already been here and you messed it up and you're not going to get in here again. And then I tried to erase it and it says, you can't erase this. We're not going to let you because you didn't handle this right. And I tried it a number of times. And so finally I thought, all right, I will change the name of the one that I'm working with, the one on the bottom. And so I changed the name, and I put a one in front of it, and away she went. And the computer was perfectly happy with a brand new file, even though it was the same old file that it had rejected three or four times before, but it was perfectly happy with a brand new file. But the name was a cosmetic name. It wasn't a change in reality. I just put the number one in front of it. And so I knew what I was doing and I knew where I was going. Now, when I move into the next level, I'm going to have to change the names of a few other things mm-hmm. to correspond with the new name. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it'll say, I don't recognize that. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting so smart now that I see through all these little things because it teaches me. And I really always knew it, but I pretended I didn't because it was kind of fun. And it gives Sylvia all sorts of things to do when she comes down to visit.
And you gave me all the something.
Yeah, and so Sylvia came to a number of conclusions that she would never come to if I hadn't given her the opportunity to work on these things. But if we always go back to the beginning, and it doesn't mean way back to the beginning. You see, this is like the law of cause and effect. Back in the beginning of this encoding system are several steps. One step is you put it up there with the proper name and you tell what it's going to go, thought for today or instant inspiration. Then the next step is that you have the full name there. And then the next step is you record it, and then you listen to it back, and then after you listen to it back, then you put it through another system of names, so it gets the abbreviated names, and the abbreviated names have to have both the ASX as well as the WMA file name behind it. And then after you finish that, then you have to make sure that your computer internet is open. Because if you open the next file without the computer being opened, it won't let you do anything. It'll just lock you up. And it'll say, ha, 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 I got control of you. And so then you have to go out of the computer, you have to go out of everything and close that off and then go into the computer and open it up and then open that up. Well, those are little things you learn too. But I'm sure as we progress, we'll find little secrets of ways of getting around that too. It's just a matter of like changing the name. So then we come to this next step, and I put it up three times, and each time it gave me a bad problem, sending it from our computer here to the internet server at Daniel's office. So I sent up the big file, 5,000 bytes, all the way up there, and each time it would cut down at 750 or something. Sylvia just seemed to have me scared. scheduled in there for the chop off. And each time it's chopped off about the same. So finally, I decided, well, this does not have to work that way. I can change the name of myself at the point where I am, and then I can go to where I want to go. I can change my name at the point where I am, and then go where I want to go, and it's all open to me. The computer doesn't care as long as it doesn't have the old name around. As long as I give it a new name, I can just go roaring right on through and do the whole thing perfectly. But if I want to hold on to that same name because I had done it three times before, then I'm not going to get it. So I want to hold on to that name because I did it three times before, then nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to have, I'm in a bottleneck. I'm in a tie down. If I'm going to hold on to the names that I had when I first started, it's not going to let me do it. It's just not going to let me do it. I could go way back to the beginning and change the name, but I have a bottleneck right at this point. At this point, it says, if you try to put this through, we won't let you because you don't have all of the information in exactly the way we want you to have it. And you have goofed it. You have messed us up here three times, and that's just about enough out of you. And so I said to myself, hey, who's running this computer? Well, in reading on the internet materials that we have on the new XP programming, it said, when you link computers together, you have to be very careful to know who's the boss, because you can't have computers kissing each other when you don't know about it. You can't have computers having a relationship when you don't know about it, because they can mess up all your programs. And what they're saying is that the computers will sometimes reach into the other computer because they're turned on, and then they'll take things off the other computer, or they'll mess things up, or they'll rearrange things, and you think it's a hacker who's come in, but it's merely your own carelessness by not keeping your nose in your own business. When you go to another computer, you have to go there alone. You can't go there with your entourage of all your programs. You have to be alone, separate from the programs, or else the other computer is going to grab your programs and say, hey, let's have fun, let's have a party. Now, you say, this is all very fine and dandy, but what's this got to do with the price of beans in Russia? Or, what's this got to do with the metaphysical principle? Or, what's this got to do with a principle of flight, as Jonathan Livingston Seagull's students would say to him? Well, what this has to do, the art of, at the beginning, what this has to do is this very simple thing. You'll think that I've been very silly with my words up to now, but you'll understand exactly if you pay attention. It doesn't matter what is in the past. It doesn't matter what you had before, what program you had, what information you had, what names you had. Right now, you can change the name and put a new program in motion, and the computer will say, okay, let's go. No objection. Not realizing it's the exact same program they objected to before. It's the exact same program that they didn't like before, but they didn't like the name. And so you just change the name. I am walking on
cool wet moss.
Now you see, our computer system will say, okay, cool wet moss. And it will define fire as cool wet moss because that's what we call it. You say, that really is tough to understand. Well, you don't need to understand it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to. I talk with Ellen as we drive in the car sometimes. And Ellen said, Herb, what magic have you done? I said, well, we're here already. Where did the miles go? Where did the distance go? All of a sudden, we're there and now we're here. How did we do that? Well, her computer was very busy. Her computer was on all sorts of programs that we were talking about together. She had no concept of time or space. And zip, we were there. Now, whether that is reality or whether that is just an illusion, or whether that is whatever it might be, the whole thing means just one thing. Whatever cause you put in motion, that's what you experience. Now, do you put a cause in motion for a healthy body?
Do you put a cause in motion for independent wealth?
So many people say, I want to be independently wealthy. I want to be independent. I'd like to have my bills paid. I'd like this. Hey, you can't do it. It won't work. As long as you keep thinking of the bills, thinking you'd like to be something, you can't be it. You have to start acting right now as though you are and you will be. So how does a millionaire act? How does an independently wealthy, healthy, and healthy person act? How do they act? You got to figure that out. You got to figure it out. It's got to be something you can believe. Now, when I can make you believe that you're walking on cool, wet moss, I'm doing quite a hypnotic act on you. If you can make yourself believe that, then you can walk on moss again when other people would call it fire. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This whole program here at the monastery is teaching you to be master of yourself. It's teaching you to name whatever it is you want in your life. If you want to name unhappiness, name it. If you want to name wholeness and peace and harmony and abundance, name it. Now, Madeline, she calls up here and she asks for treatment, but we are some of the sickest practitioners on the face of the earth. Let's go around and tape her. And we're the sickest practitioners on the face of the earth because we have not convinced her to treat herself and see herself wherever it is she wants to be. Right now she wants to have independent wealth. But she says, I want independent wealth, but I have to go down to my bookkeeper and so forth. Well, what's your bookkeeper going to tell you? He's going to tell you you're independently wealthy. He's going to say, Madeline, you are fantastic. That's what he's going to say. But if you think he's going to say something different, then you have programmed him to say whatever it is you think he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't that you're good or you're bad or that you've earned it or you haven't. It's just a matter of what cause are you putting in motion. Now, here, we've learned at the beginning. At the beginning, on our computer, you cannot change anything. You cannot change anything. When you put a program on there and it bottlenecks up, you're dead. There's no way you can make a change unless you go back to the very beginning and put a whole new program in there, or say it.
Put in your cause in motion.
Right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right where you are. And that, I think that's a big point. Right where you are. You put a new cause in motion right where you are. Stephen wrote to us, and he wrote one letter where he was very probing ideas and thinking deeply about thoughts. And then the next letter after our answer, he wrote back, he says, I got the message. I like it. I'm strong in it. You see? And so we're practitioners. We guide people to put the cause in motion right where they are,
mm-hmm.
to think positive about themselves, to love themselves. And Stefan's a good example. Pow! You know, just a great change. Madeline could be a good example too, but you still listen to her. You don't say, Madeline, I don't hear one word about your program unless that word is that it's a success right now. Is that what you want? Oh, yes, that's what I want, but you have to understand how it got that way. I don't have to understand anything. I don't work with how it got that way. I don't work with how the computer got the way that it wouldn't take the program. I only come to the point, hey, it's not taking it, and the program's in there, and it's good. I listen to it. So I just give it another name. Give it another name, and the computer says, whoopee, I like programs. And that's the way it is. And you don't think that computers are human? My, my, my. Cars are human. Objects are human. People sometimes are human too, but not always. Why aren't people always human? Some of them are divine.
All are divine.
Oh my, don't you have an interesting set of pink glasses on?
Mm-hmm.
Great for you. We'll just keep them right on there.
Yeah, I put two on now.
But this is the truth. This is the truth. And if we ever allow anyone to tell us anything that's not the truth, we are lying to ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. we're making fools out of ourselves. So, I say to you, and I say to me, whatever your situation is in life, whatever you're facing at any given moment, at that moment, put the cause in motion for what you are, what you dream, what you know, not what you want to experience, but what you know, you are, you dream, you experience, you live. Dream sounds like it's off, but I've always had a dream of having a beautiful home, and this is my dream home. This is the most lovely home I could have ever wanted. It's so beautiful. I've always had my dream, and that's a present activity, you see. But if, oh, I wish I could have my dream home. My dream home has so many nice features. To live in my dream home, I'd just be in paradise. Well, no, you wouldn't. Anytime you wish that you could be in your dream home, you're in hell. Mm-hmm. Because you're not in your dream home. Mentally put yourself in your dream home. Mentally see yourself with all the accoutrements that make your dream home lovely and beautiful. Really. When I go and lay in that bed that I have in the back bedroom, it's a nice bed. Nice firm mattress and firm hard thing. And I sleep good. But when I get on the floor, I go like this. I stretch all out. My arms don't hang over the edge of the bed. And my feet don't hang over the edge of the bed. My head doesn't hit the top of the bed. I mean, I can understand Randy. He's such a tall bird, he and Susan, you know. But the thing is, Randy says, well, if I lay on the floor, my arm will go to sleep and I'll get... I said, Randy, you're laying on a feather cushion. You know, I don't even think of my arm. If I lay on top of my arm, that's one thing. But if my arm is just, you know, underneath me as it would normally be, I don't feel it at all. And I wake up in the morning, and I just want to stretch out and sleep a little more or get up right away or whatever. I feel good. I feel good. It's not that I feel that, oh, my back is so stiff. Oh, I feel just, you know, so wretched from having slept on the floor. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, the pups are going in and out of the bed like gangbusters, you know. I don't know, they've got to chase something to come back, chase something to come back. So I just leave the cover off. And then a couple hours later, I wake up, you know, I haven't got the cover on. And I think, I didn't miss it, you know. I just went to sleep. And then there was nothing for the boys to go under, so they didn't bother me, and I just slept, you know. Maybe that's a good way to sleep, just leave the cover off. But put a cause in motion for whatever it is that is your particular experience at this moment for yourself in life. Whatever it is, put the cause in motion, and you'll have it. You'll have it. Are you ready?
Yes.
I am too. I love you.